Integrity. Audiobook by Ashish Raichur. Introduction. All of us have many stories to tell about the corruption we see in the world, especially when we visit government offices and other places. We encounter corruption, dishonesty, and bribery almost everywhere. It seems to be the norm. Dishonesty, cheating, and lying seem to be acceptable, so long as there are reasons for doing so. However, it is really sad when we see dishonesty, unrighteousness, and a lack of integrity among God's people, us, because at least we should know better. We should know how to walk in integrity, honesty, purity, and righteousness, because we read the Word of God and all that it teaches about these things. It is even worse when we see unrighteousness, dishonesty, and a lack of integrity among pastors, preachers, teachers, and ministers of the Word. I am sure many of us can share stories of Christian bribery, lying, dishonesty, and so on. When we planted All People's Church and started pastoring in Bangalore, we had this mindset that every Christian would speak the truth. We probably thought this way because in the small communities that we had worked and interacted with, prior to this, most people spoke the truth, and we just implicitly trusted people. So, we carried that notion with us. However, we were shocked to encounter Christians lying. Our immediate reaction was one of disbelief. Christians are not supposed to be lying, acting unrighteous, and conducting themselves with a lack of integrity. We even encountered pastors and ministers of God who were dishonest. I can recount many such incidents of hearing good reports and even seeing photographs of their work. There have been occasions when I wrote out checks for several thousands of rupees believing their words. Then it finally dawned on us that we could not take people's words at face value. We then reached a point where we would not believe people unless we were really convinced. We had to readjust our thinking. We came to a state where we needed to assess people before we completely trusted them. The objectives of this writing are to stir within us as God's people a commitment to integrity, a commitment to honesty, a commitment to uprightness and righteousness in our speech, in the way we run our businesses, careers, and in everything else we do. Our attitudes should be, no matter what it would cost us, we would still be committed to righteousness. An awakening to the blessings of walking in integrity. We do not realize that we miss out on the blessings that God has for us when we opt for the convenience of speaking lies. Submission to the Lord and allowing Him to break bondages that are holding us, so that we may be changed in these areas. Some of us may find ourselves bound and just unable to speak the truth, although we really want to. If that is the case, it is likely that we need to be set free from lying and deceiving spirits that the Bible talks about. Chapter 1. Instructions on Integrity. The Bible teaches us to walk in integrity, uprightness, and honesty. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19 lists the things that God hates. These include lying, devising evil, committing evil, bearing false witness, and sowing discord. For example, if an accountant in a company manipulates the numbers to produce a report that does not represent the facts, that in essence is devising evil. If we say we saw something when actually we never did, that would be giving a false witness, which again is an abomination in His sight. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. God will not overlook lying lips as a mere character flaw and be forgiving. The fact that it is an abomination to the Lord reveals that He does not tolerate it at all. On the other hand, those who deal truthfully are His delight. If we are committed to being honest in our jobs, in our finances, and in every area of our lives, the Bible says that we are His delight. God is so happy when we deal truthfully. Suppose our boss asks us to do something that is not true, it is up to us to decide whether we want to be a delight to God or our boss. The choice is entirely ours. We need to be totally committed to integrity. Exodus chapter 23, verses 6-8. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false matter, do not kill the innocent and righteous. For I will not justify the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. It is funny how sometimes we think that we must defend the truth by resorting to lies. That is unnecessary, because the truth will stand by itself, and we do not need to defend it with our lies. Consider this situation at work, which happens quite often. A colleague calls you on the phone and requests you to inform the boss that he is unwell, although he is well and is planning to take the day off to do something else. You agree to do so and lie to the boss. You may think that you are doing something good by helping your friend, but you are lying because you know that your friend is not sick, but is out doing some personal work. The fact is that you have partnered with him in his lie. Exodus chapter 23, verse 7 tells us to keep far from a false matter. Just do not get involved in such things. Have the courage to tell your colleague to speak the truth to the boss. We sometimes get involved in such things because we think that we are doing our friends a favor. No, we are not. Psalm chapter 34, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. We are asked to control our tongues, Psalm chapter 34, verse 13. Remember that our tongues are under our control and not under the devil's control. Some people excuse themselves by saying, "The devil made me lie." The truth is that they spoke a lie. Now there may be some people who are in bondage, where the devil has been influencing them to the point of uncontrolled lying, but this bondage can be broken in Jesus' name. However, ultimately our tongues are under our control. Let us not blame the devil, our parents, our relatives, or the environment that we were brought up in because we have the habit of lying. We just must learn to control our tongues. Another excuse that we use while lying is, "God knows my heart. I am really being very sincere, although I lied a little bit." And we do not worry about how this affects people. But the New Testament teaches us that we need to be honest not only in God's sight, but also in the sight of men. It is not enough for us to say, "God sees me and knows my heart." The Bible also says that we are to be honest before men. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 from KJV Bible. For example, if a person is in great need, he cannot steal from someone else and use the excuse, "God knows me and my situation. I normally would not have done this, but I did it because of my great need." God will not excuse stealing just because the need is great, and neither will man. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. Providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Paul explains how he went about collecting offerings given to him, and how he handled the finances given to him by the churches. There was a seriousness with which he conducted himself. He handled money with a great sense of accountability toward God and toward the people who entrusted him with it. Paul wanted all his dealings to be honest not only before God but also before men. That is why at All People's Church, we try our best to have all our account books in order. We also insist that all bills and details of all financial transactions be maintained so that even if anyone were to question us, we would have all the records intact. We need to put in that extra effort so that we can be in a position to account both to God and man. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. It is strange how we say, "Praise the Lord," to each other in church and continue lying to one another. The Bible asks us to put away lying and to speak the truth to one another. We all belong to the body of Christ, and we ought to speak the truth to one another. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Even when the people of the world observe us, they should be able to recognize us as being honest. That is the level of integrity and honesty that we are supposed to maintain, because when they look at us, they should have no reason to point a finger at us. Chapter 2. God examines and knows our integrity, or the lack of it. God examines and knows our integrity. Our pastors may never know the level of our integrity. Even if we put false information on our resumes and on Sunday mornings go to church and worship God, our pastors may never know it. But God does. He knows our integrity or the lack of it. King David says, "Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to my integrity within me," Psalm chapter 7, verse 8. David prays in the Scriptures, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord, I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my mind and my heart," Psalm chapter 26, verses 1 and 2. What a strong prayer! Because David walked in integrity, he was able to pray for God to vindicate him. Very often we say, "If I tell my boss that I will not lie, I may lose my job." Praise God if you are in a position where you will lose your job because of your uprightness, because then you could pray as David prayed and ask the Lord to vindicate you. However, if we do not walk in integrity, then we cannot ask God to vindicate us. Like the psalmist, we must be able to say that we walked uprightly, worked honestly, and did what we knew to be right, and then ask God to fight our battles. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24. "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places, so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" God asks an interesting question in the Scriptures: can anyone hide himself in secret places, so I shall not see him? Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. We cannot hide ourselves and conduct our dishonest works and assume even for a moment that God is not watching us. Of course, no other human being may be watching us, but there is no secret place on the earth where we can go where God will not be watching us. We could be sitting behind our computers and writing all sorts of lies in the monthly report and think that no one would know anything. But remember, God is watching. He knows and examines the integrity of our hearts. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." There is absolutely nothing at all that we can hide from God. We need to come to a place where we have a holy fear of God that will help us live uprightly and in integrity. Chapter 3. Why do we still compromise on our integrity? Most of us are familiar with all that we have read so far. From childhood, we have been taught that it is wrong to lie, that we must be honest, walk in uprightness, and so on. We may even be familiar with most of the scripture verses mentioned thus far. We may have even got them highlighted in our Bibles. But we need to ask ourselves these questions. Why do we still lie? Why is it that although we have been Christians for a long time, we are still dishonest in our work, ministry, and so on? Often, we tell people that we are raising money for a particular cause and end up using the money for something else. Why are God's people, who know all these things and have read about all these things in the Word, still dishonest? There are a few reasons why we continue in dishonesty. These are reasons that prevent us and keep us from maintaining integrity, honesty, and uprightness in our lives. Here are some possible reasons. No genuine fear of God, taking God's grace for granted. We sometimes become too familiar with the verses that talk about God's forgiveness, mercy, steadfast love, and goodness that we tend to take it easy. We feel that even when we continue to lie and be dishonest, God would still forgive us. We do not have a genuine fear of God in our lives. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord one departs from evil, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. Only a genuine fear of the Lord will make a person depart from evil. We should fear and respect Him too much to dabble in sin, dishonesty, lying, and unrighteousness. When there is no fear of God, we would just do whatever pleases us. It is true that we depend on the grace of God, but at the same time we must have the fear of the Lord in our hearts. It is sad that some ministers and preachers of God do not have the fear of God in their lives, and when they get off the pulpit, they do not hesitate to speak lies and do all kinds of wrong things. When we, the ministers of God, do not have the fear of God, then how are we going to teach people to have the fear of God? We need to come to a place where we have the fear of the Lord. Fear of man. Sometimes we lie because of fear of people. We fear about how they would react if we told them the truth. We need to overcome our fear of man. We must be bold enough to speak the truth and walk in righteousness, regardless of whom we are dealing with. Fear of consequences. If I do not lie myself out of this situation, I am going to be stuck in it, so I better lie my way out is another excuse people have for lying. We must be bold enough to walk truthfully, regardless of the consequences. Remember, when we walk honestly, God is on our side. Reputation and pride. Sometimes we lie because we want to protect our reputation and pride that are at stake. For instance, when someone asks us if we have passed our exams, we may simply say, yes, though it may not be true. Living by convenience instead of conviction. We tend to live by convenience instead of conviction because it takes a lot more effort to live by conviction. When we are convinced that we must speak the truth all the time, we must speak the truth, no matter what the cost is. Convenience says, if it is easy, I will speak the truth, if it is difficult, I will lie my way out. Please tell yourself that you will live by conviction. We must live by conviction and not by convenience. We must be convinced that we need to be men and women of conviction, truth, and honesty. Afraid to displease or hurt. Sometimes people lie because they do not want to hurt the person they are speaking to. A lie is a lie is a lie, even if you did it out of a good intention. Trying to be nice by covering up. Sometimes people lie when they try to cover up for a friend. A lie is a lie is a lie, regardless of how sincere you are. Remember this, truth can stand by itself. Truth does not need to be defended by lies. Chapter 4. The consequences of dishonesty. Another reason why we tend to compromise on integrity is because we do not really understand the seriousness of its consequences. Many times, we think that if we go and ask God to forgive us, everything will be fine. Of course, God forgives us, but we still must live through the consequences. God is not going to alter all the consequences. We must reap the consequences of what we have sown. We need to fully understand the consequences of dishonesty. Let us look at some scriptures. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. So many times, we use lies to escape. But we do not realize that the Word of God says, he who speaks lies will not escape, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 5. We may rejoice about getting out of a particular situation by lying, but what we do not realize is that it will catch up with us sooner or later, till we repent and deal with those things around us. We often lie to escape tight situations, not realizing that we are entangling ourselves into bigger traps. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Bread that is gained by deceit might be sweet initially, but if it has been gained by deceit, the Bible says that the mouth will be filled with gravel. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Deceit is when someone writes in his resume that he has 6 years of work experience when he only has 6 months. The money earned by dishonest means, though sweet initially, will be like gravel in the mouth later. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 6 also conveys the same truth. getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. The riches we get by dishonesty lead us to death and destruction, and those riches soon disappear. Dishonesty may seem like a quick and easy way, but its consequences will soon catch up with us. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 12. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. When a person in leadership is dishonest, all those under him will follow in the same path. Hosea chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. Hosea chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 conveys a very interesting truth. Every time we lie, we sow unrighteousness, wickedness, and sooner or later we are going to eat the fruit of our lies. Lies will produce their fruit, and we will eat of it. So we must understand that there is a consequence to our lying and dishonesty. There is a fruit of lies that we will have for every lie we sow. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. When we lie, we are participating in Satan's works. The Bible says that liars will be put into the lake of fire, the gravest consequence. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. Every person who comes to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, and there is grace, mercy, pardon, forgiveness, and salvation in Jesus Christ. However, there is a grave consequence specifically mentioned by God, that if we are liars we will be sent to hell, Revelation chapter 21. Satan is the father of lies and in him there is no truth at all, John chapter 8, verse 44, so God will tell liars, go live with your father if you continue to lie. Such a grave consequence for lying and not speaking the truth. We need to understand that dishonesty has its consequences, both in this present world and in the world to come. This should cause us to have a holy fear leading us to say, God, I do not want to sow wickedness, I do not want to eat the fruit of my lies. I do not want to reap iniquity and wickedness. The ultimate consequence, liars go to hell. Chapter 5. The blessings of the upright. There are wonderful blessings for those who walk in uprightness, righteousness, and integrity. Blessing and favor. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, with favor you will surround him as with a shield. Assume you are going for an interview and are praying for God's favor. The Bible says that God will favor the righteous. If you have been dishonest on your resume, you can just forget about the favor of God because he says that he will bless the righteous and will surround the righteous with favor. Not the unrighteous and dishonest, but the upright. So, what should we do? Instead of writing falsely 6 years on the resume, we should truthfully say we have 6 months of experience and then boldly tell God that we are depending on Him to give us a job that someone with 6 years of experience would get. That would be the right thing to do rather than writing fake information on the resume. God can only give His favor when there is righteousness. Preservation and answered prayer. The psalmist says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Psalm chapter 25, verse 21. What a secure position to be in, to be able to tell God that we have walked in integrity and uprightness and to then say that we know that we would be protected and preserved. Psalm chapter 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Psalm chapter 34, verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Psalm chapter 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Answered prayer and protection are for the righteous. Although we may face a lot of afflictions when we take this stand, God will deliver us from each one of them. Permanent security. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Truth lasts. Lies may serve their purpose today, but they are gone tomorrow. We cannot rely on them. We would probably need to create more lies to sustain the first lie. There is no security in a lie. However, when we speak the truth, we feel secure and are secure. There is no need to defend ourselves because truth defends itself. Clarity and light. Psalm chapter 97, verse 11. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. When we walk in righteousness, we can expect the light of God to fall on our paths. When we do not walk in righteousness, we cannot complain that the path is all dark and the future bleak. Think of it this way: every time we lie, we are actually turning off the light of God in our lives, and every time we walk in righteousness, we are turning on the lights so that we can see the path clearly. Legacy. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. When we walk in our integrity, we leave a blessing behind for our children. Conversely, when we do not walk in integrity, we would leave behind a curse for our children. The legacy that we leave behind for our children is determined by whether we walk in integrity or not. Chapter 6. Response, deliverance, repentance, renunciation, and consecration. Break bondages to a lying spirit. We must move from a place where we merely know the truth to a place of applying it in our lives. Some of you may be in a situation where lying is like second nature and you do not know why you do it. The Bible mentions lying spirits in at least two places, 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 22 and 23, and 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. This means that there are demons that promote lies and influence people's characters and behaviors. It is possible that you are born again, spirit-filled, and speaking in tongues, but you may be under the control of a lying spirit. Seek God and break free from the bondage. Change your attitude toward lying. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 5. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Psalm chapter 119, verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Although most of us know that dishonesty is not acceptable before God, we are tolerant to it, both in others and ourselves. We need to move from being tolerant toward lying to a place of holy intolerance toward any form of dishonesty. We are not intolerant toward people, but rather we are intolerant toward the practice of lying and dishonesty. We need to hate lying. The Bible says, a righteous man hates lying, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 5. We need to change our attitude toward lying. Let us seek God's grace to get lying out of our lives. Let us be determined to speak the truth even when it hurts. Refuse to partner with dishonesty. Psalm chapter 101, verse 7. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house, he who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Do not participate in other people's dishonesty. This is so true when we are working with people in various forms of partnerships, whether in the workplace or elsewhere. Sometimes when we see other people lying, we remain a party to it instead of speaking up or refusing to go along with that lie. We assume that it is that person's lie and that since we did not say it, we are clean. The fact remains that as an accomplice, we are also partnering in that lie. I remember a young man who used to attend all our services, prayer meetings, and programs for one whole year, in the initial year of starting our church. I was really impressed, though I did not say anything to him. One Sunday morning, I had preached on the power of commitment and had spoken on being committed to integrity, among other things. At the end of the church service, this man approached me and informed me that he had applied to a Bible college overseas. And for the visa and other requirements, he wanted me to write a letter stating that he was working with All People's Church for the past 1 year. He also wanted me to say that the church was sending him to study in the Bible college and that after finishing the course he would come back and work with the church. However, none of what the young man wanted written on the letter was true. I was shocked. I asked him to meet me on another day. When we met, I pointed to him that it was wrong for him to even make such a request. I told him that the only letter that I would give him was a letter saying that he had regularly attended the church for that period, and I handed the letter to him. This is exactly what I am trying to convey. We could be regularly attending church, hearing many messages, but still lie and resort to such dishonest practices. When we encounter such people, we wonder which church they have been attending and whether they are taught about the need for integrity. I can recollect many incidents of Christian brothers and sisters walking in dishonesty and unrighteousness. But all that should change now. We need to move from tolerating dishonesty to a place where we hate and abhor all forms of dishonesty. Prayer of Consecration. Let us pray a prayer of consecration. The psalmist prayed this way: "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, keep watch over the door of my lips," Psalm chapter 141, verse 3, "and remove from me the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously," Psalm chapter 119, verse 29. Let us move to a place of integrity, honesty, and righteousness before God. We know that we are saved. We know that God is a God of compassion, love, and mercy. However, let us not take that for granted. Let us not abuse the grace of God. We need a touch from God in this area, for all of us have been dishonest to varying degrees. Prayer. Remove from me, O God, the way of lies. Remove from me dishonesty and a lack of integrity. Remove my tolerance to dishonesty and make me hate dishonesty. Do a surgery in my life, Lord. Dig deep with the sword of your Spirit and take it by the roots. I have tolerated dishonesty in my life for so long, but now I come to you and ask you to put an end to it. Lay the axe to the roots and remove it by the roots. Remove lying, remove dishonesty, and remove unrighteousness from me. I want to be a person who will walk in integrity before you and look to you for vindication, for favor, for blessing. I want to be a person who will deal truthfully and be a delight to you. Even if I make people upset, it does not matter. I want to delight you, my God. I want to give you pleasure. I want you to be happy and excited about me. Lord, only the cleansing work and power of the Holy Spirit can go to the depth of my soul and cut the roots of this flaw in my life. I just position myself before your throne. Take this time to work in me. Do it by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture references are from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Used with permission. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.